Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 85 of Metallicast, the Metallica podcast. I'm your host and fellow Metallica fan. My name is Brandon. Now, I'm doing this episode a little bit differently than I've been doing the last several over the last year or two, because normally I record with my guest. I go back, I edit, I add on an intro, I add on an outro. But I am just too fucking lazy for that. No. I figure maybe I can get more episodes out to you if I save some time and treat this as if it's a live stream. Except it's not going out to the world on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter like my live streams do. But I'm releasing this as basically live to tape, warts and all. So when my guest messes up, I will not mess up. I am perfect all the time, but when my guest without a doubt messes up, I'm leaving it in. When there's awkward silence because my guest, not me, of course not me, but when my guest decides to just, you know, sit there and say nothing, all that's gonna be left in. And now that I've given him such a great intro, my guest Deacon, how are you, sir?
I am good. Thank you. That was really tough for me to like stay quiet during that. I was about to just crack up. I didn't want to ruin a surprise of who it was, but awesome to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Of course. Well, I'm happy to have you on because you've had me on your show, Deacon and Co. show, a couple times now. We have talked sports, wrestling, and of course, Metallica. And you were kind enough to come on and be one of my friends of misery in my absence away. And, I'm still taking a little bit of an absence away. We're not back to the one a week schedule yet by any means. I said on, the fourth anniversary live stream back in December, I announced that I would be doing two a month. Well, you get one a month right now in January anyways. I'm doing what I can. There will be more episodes to come. I promise you that. I was hoping to do one like pre-recorded episode, one live stream a month, and then work my way back up to one a week. But for right now, I'm going to just record when I can. That's all I can promise you people. I'm going to record when I can. And I do promise down the road, there will be more plentiful episodes like there used to be, but I gotta take care of my babies right now. You know what I'm saying, Deacon?
Absolutely, man. And that's too the cool thing too, of stepping away and getting, you know, to be a parent and take some time to do that, you know, because if you don't, you know, it's the golden years right now, man. And especially your wife needs the help too.
Absolutely. So it's funny though. I will share one quick proud father story from today. So my oldest daughter, she is 2 years old now. I picked her up from daycare. I know the last 2 years flew by. I picked her up from daycare. We come home, and you know, she is all about being a ballerina. She loves any dress or any shirt that like looks like it could be a dress. We have like little ballerina slippers for her. So she was wearing like a long shirt, and it was her ballerina shirt. We put our ballerina slippers on, and we often, you know, put YouTube on the TV and we'll put on like a ballet video, usually like some kids doing ballet, and then she'll twirl and have like a little dance party. So she's asking for ballet. So my wife, she goes to put on some ballet video on YouTube, and then she goes, "No, ballet after Metallica." This is a true story that happened today. And then we just listened to Metallica, like all through dinner. We just listened to Metallica.
And that was awesome.
And so I'm trying to raise her right. And if I go, "Metallica," she'll go, "Metallica." So I'm trying to raise her right. And it was a proud moment. And I also took it as a sign that this was the right day to come back and record. And I got the perfect guest to record. Of course, I'm just... pulling his leg, as they say, about the awkward silence and all that. But this will be warts and all. I'm not going back and fixing anything. Not because I'm lazy, but because hopefully by saving me that editing time, I can kind of start like the ball rolling and get more of these going. And most of you, I don't think, will care one way or the other. So to be quite honest, and if you do care, let me know at MetallicaSpot on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But anyways, Deacon, the reason I wanted you on the show is because, besides the fact that it's long overdue, is that you are, of course, a massive Metallica fan. Your show, Deacon and Co. Show, you are, it's a kind of like a variety talk show where you cover a lot of sports, but also a lot of music, and every episode there is Metallica talk because Metallica is your all-time favorite band. Now, I know you've touched upon it on your show. I think you might have touched upon it when you came on for My Friends in Misery, but for anybody who maybe missed either of those, fill the Metallica Expedition in on your Metallica story. How did you get into the band?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a little weird because I grew up in a household where I listen to country and rap. They are the two furthest spectrums of music from each other. And as I got older, you know, I had a couple of songs by Metallica that I liked. My first two songs I ever heard, Master of Puppets and Harvester of Sorrow. Always going to have a special place in my heart for both of those. So one day, and this is the classic moment in the first time that you came on. I don't think anybody has said this, which was awesome. I had a fight with my wife, and she actually won tickets when she worked for Sirius XM to the employee contest. And she says to me, she's like, you know, we had this fight. And she says, well, I guess then you're just going to sit home and you're not going to go to the Apollo Theater when I go and see Metallica. And walked in the venue, first time that I ever saw them live, and Hit the Lights was my first song I ever heard them play, and I was hooked ever since. Left the concert from New York City, came home that next morning, I bought every album.
So it's interesting because you are kind of a more recent fan, but your fandom has like grown to a point where you are, like, how many shows have you been to since then? You've been to a lot.
I've been to a lot. Vegas coming up will be my 60th.
Damn.
So that's in, you figure that the Apollo was 2012. So yeah, I've done this in a 10-year span. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, because it's never unfortunate when you see that. But as I was explaining to some other people as well, a lot of these came on like multiple shows. So like I've seen the Hardwired tour 8 times. So like, does that really count as 8 different times? Yes, but it's on one tour.
Yeah, no, it counts. I mean, if you follow them on tour and you go to every single show on that tour, you can say you've seen them every single night, right? Every different show is definitely a different Metallica concert, whether it's the same set list or different set list. But usually, even on the Hardwired tour, which was a little bit more predictable set-wise, they did, you know, mix it up here or there with a couple tracks. So, I mean, you and even if it's the same songs, it's a different stage, different audience. The band might be, you know, really on one night, maybe a little bit off another night. So it's a completely different experience each and every time.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
I mean, that's the beauty of live music. You know, it's the energy from the band, the energy from the crowd. I got to say, I miss it. I miss live music. I have not been to a live show in a good while between the kids and the COVID. It just has not happened yet. But I do have tickets in February to my first live concert in a while. I'm seeing, hopefully seeing Ghost and Volbeat.
Oh, wow.
I'm hoping the show happens. I'm hoping there is not like some crazy uptick in COVID again that scares me away from going. But I do have the two young ones, so I'm kind of trying to be, you know, extra precautious because of, you know, of them. So
absolutely,
I cannot have them home for 2 weeks from daycare.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be a little bit rough too. I usually have, it's funny that you mentioned that about your daughter doing that. That's the funniest thing. So I have two little nephews who are really getting into it. And for whatever reason, it's just like the popular, you know, names of the songs that these guys remember. But, the one thing that they asked for, when I went away, they didn't want toys. They didn't want candy. They just said, Can you please do me a favor? And can you please?
Yeah.
And so I did. So they watch it every single day. And if they're annoying, because you know sometimes those little guys.
Say that one more time. You blocked out for a moment there. We lost.
Oh, sorry, did I lose you? What part did you hear me off last?
They wanted. They did not want toys or candies. They just wanted. And then you left us hanging like a there in the abyss.
Sorry there. Yeah, they only wanted to have a live video of Master of Puppets. So I got them the video, obviously, so they watch it every day. So when they're annoying, you know, because sometimes those little guys could be annoying, what I do is I hook up my phone on the YouTube to their TV and give them a wake-up call of whatever concert I'm watching for that day. Mm-hmm. And then those guys just go crazy for the day.
Awesome. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
So you are... So among all those Metallica shows that you have been to, 60, you said. Now, well, the Las Vegas would be the 60th, right?
Las Vegas would be 60th.
So among those include the recent 40th anniversary shows. Now, I'm going to be completely transparent with everybody. I was super excited for these 40th anniversary shows. Did I go to them? No. I got the two young ones at home. I just could not... get away. It's a completely across the country from where I live. A week before Christmas, the money, the this, the that, the COVID, just, and I did hear, I guess, did you, if you do not mind sharing, did you luck out with the COVID? I heard there was some outbreaks there after the 40th shows. Cause it was like, it was when like the spikes were hitting high again.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, what happened was, We went back and forth, my wife and I. We traveled this year pretty much to see Metallica, Louisville, ATL Live, the 40th anniversary show. So we're back and forth. So as if anyone doesn't know, who hasn't heard of my show, of course, a lot of your fans haven't, but I'm from New York, but I'm born in California. So going back and forth cross country to me wasn't an issue, you know, especially because I love, you know, being home. But we traveled all the way, all these places. We were extra safe. And then one of our friends who happens to live in Brooklyn, New York, was out there for the show too. And she had COVID and was in the backseat of my car with me. Somehow, I don't know how, but I didn't touch it.
Oh,
I don't know how.
Good for you.
Yeah. So it was a rough situation. I was sick though, but I never tested positive for COVID. Like I was sick, like on my last day of coming home. Yeah. And the way that we did it, was, and I'm going to give all Metallica fans, a little insight on how to get these tickets and whatnot. If, you know, if instead of ordering them or buying them, whatever it is in advance, there's an easier way to do this. But on my way home, and actually for us to save, you know, pretty much like almost $1,300 or $1,400, I had to fly into LA, get a rental car, and then drive up to San Fran, and then drive back down to LAX to fly, because it was crazy money, as you mentioned, to fly into San Francisco.
Yeah. That is a nice drive, though. I have done that drive before. It is a nice drive.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful drive, especially if you can go down US 1 and go to coast.
Right. That's what we did.
Yeah, it took us 13 hours to get from, you know, Sacramento down to L.A. The first time in October after Aftershock. But then I just took the 405 straight down, 5 hours. I was there. That was it. I wasn't trying to do 13 hours again. As beautiful as it was, I was rolling through from the night before of the Metallica show, how crazy it was out there. It took us almost 3 hours to leave Discovery Park to get back to where Sleep Train Arena was. So it was a complete shit show. Yeah. So by the time I got back to the hotel, it was 3, 4 in the morning. I'm like, all right, let's go pack the bags. We'll go in LA. That's it.
I mean, I'm glad that you guys made it out healthy. I kept on seeing things on Facebook and in the forums like, oh, I tested positive. I tested positive. I was like, oh God. I hope anybody who did test positive who's listening is feeling better. Hopefully you are at this point. You know, a couple months removed now, or a month removed now. I have no clue what date it is. there is no time for me right now. I'm glad that you and the missus made it out healthy. And of course, you know, COVID aside, it's the fucking 40th anniversary show. So, and here's where I'm at in my life, right? So I was. I was like, oh, I hope that they stream it. I hope that they stream it. I hope that they stream it. And guess what? They streamed it. But in my hope of them streaming it, I did not connect the dots that they're on Pacific time. So 9 o'clock Pacific time is, what, 1 a.m. here?
So 12.
12. Thank you. Yeah, so midnight here. And I know they're playing 2 to 3 hours. So you figure that show's wrapping up at, 2:30 a.m.-ish.
Yeah.
And like I said, I got the two little ones. I was like, there is no way. There is no way I can stay up 12 to 2:30. And I got to be up and do feedings and this and that. So I missed out on the stream. So then they replayed it over Christmas weekend. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to catch it. And then but it was like on something else I had to like sign up for. Then before I knew it, it was like the weekend passed. And, Christmas weekend was all about the kids. And what I'm trying to say is I'm an old, boring father now who misses out on everything Metallica. So I missed out on the streams too, is what I'm trying to say. I'm going to catch the I've seen clips and I'm going to check out the full concert down the road when I have time. The thing is I'm the type of person who, like, I do not want to, like, I don't mind watching like a song or two, but like I don't want to like sit down and watch like an hour of the show. I want to sit down and watch like the whole freaking show at once, and it's very hard to like find 2 to 3 hours where I can actually sit down and watch and enjoy it. I will sit down and do so at some point, because I think it is coming back on like video on demand. I'm sure the whole shows are on YouTube right now also anyways. But the reason I say all that is not to depress everybody, and you can tell me I'm a fake fan online, okay? At Metallica's Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But the reason I say is that because I was following along on Twitter. I've seen the set list. I like I said, I've seen a clip here or there. But, I was very far removed from the 40th anniversary shows. A lot more removed than I ever could imagine being as, the Metallica fan that I am. So I need you, Deacon. And you are my eyes and ears on the ground. I need you to fill me in. Without making me too sad and jealous. now you went to, there were two nights, obviously. You went to one night or both nights?
Both nights.
Okay. I hate you. But please tell me, walk us through what that weekend was like from your perspective.
Absolutely. First things first is before we get into anything along the lines of what had happened like during the concert and stuff, for anybody who is ever having problems or wants to go to a Metallica show, or this works for any type of venue as well. And this is what I did. So I'm going to make you guys absolutely jealous when I say this. So for the 40th anniversary shows, I ended up paying $115 per ticket. And I was four rows back from the floor itself. So what happens is when you guys are looking, like, for instance, if you're going to a baseball game and game's supposedly sold out, you go to the venue, you buy tickets right before. If it's a 7 o'clock game, you buy them at 6:50, 6:55, 6:30. There is never, ever a situation where there are no tickets available. It's just bullshit. And there's always somewhere who has a ticket, whether it's on StubHub, SeatGeek, whatever it is. So that's what we did there. Originally, I had bought some tickets from somebody who there was an issue on StubHub. So what had happened was the guy actually refunded us the money. And I wasn't freaking out because I was like, all right, this is going to work out in my advantage because I'm going to end up paying just a little bit cheaper for that. But the takeover for the city itself of what these guys did. Now, I'm being truthful with you here. Like, as I mentioned, I'm from California, particularly San Francisco. When I went to Aftershock in October, the streets were filled more with homeless people than I've ever seen in my life. So this was not the city that everybody loves and enjoys and was like, oh yeah, that's the Full House city. Like, those days are gone. Really not a good place to be.
I went to San Fran a few years back, pre-kids, and I did like my little Metallica tour or whatever. And I've lived in Brooklyn. I lived in New York. I work in New York City, and I say that only because I'm familiar with big cities, and obviously there is litter and homeless people and this and that, as there is in every city. But I was really taken aback by the amount of garbage and homeless people in that city.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely scary. And a lot of places too, Brandon, a lot of people don't know this, is that a lot of places aren't like, you know, the East Coast or even Florida, Texas, or anything like that. We go into a bar, you know, for instance, I go in to order food. I say, okay, can I see a menu? Lady goes, oh yeah, we're not serving food here. But meanwhile, the only reason I came was to get chicken wings and a beer. So it's like, it's very completely different, you know, from the opposite sides of the country and whatnot. But taking over for the weekend, they did a great job. I think they rejuvenated the city. The city definitely needed it. Every day that they had something going on. Thursday night, I didn't get into the city. I was actually at the Chargers Chiefs game down in L.A. I had to catch that Thursday night football and then traveled up. So these guys had many opportunities. Like, they had different bars and different cover bands and stuff, and it really was cool. So with my personal opinion on both shows, they were played for about two hours and 10 minutes, whatever it was. If they didn't have these cover bands, they probably, I think, would have played a little longer, being it's a 40th anniversary show.
Right. Yeah.
And if that makes sense, because, you know, Lars' son was playing there, and like, these guys were across town and whatnot. So I had a couple of friends that actually turned around, and they, you know, went to go hang out with them. One of them was hanging out with Lars' kid, and that's cool. Like, I really thought that was cool. But for me, like you said, now East Coast coming to the West Coast, I'm still rolling through from Thursday's game, going into Friday, having to travel 6 hours up the coast. So for me, as soon as the concert was over, I turned around, I, you know, hung out, took some pictures, and then I got back to the hotel. I'm an hour and a half away from where the concert was. So I still had to drive an hour and a half back home to the hotel, and then got over there and whatnot. You know, it was just insane when, you know, think about the travel times and all this. So by the time you get back there, as you said, 2:30, 3 o'clock over on the East Coast, that's 6 o'clock. Sorry, 2:30 over on the West Coast is 5:30 in the morning on the East Coast.
Right.
So it's still a long day. You know, obviously, you know, I'm not sleeping on such a caliber of a concert. So, right. You know, I finally didn't get to sleep until, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the morning at the hotel. But walking into the venue itself was really cool, really clean. It's so funny because, you know, obviously the Golden State Warriors play there. So outside of the arena itself, they have like a crown, like kind of like a throne type of thing that has like the big Golden State Warriors logo right behind it. So I sat down there, I pointed to my arm, it's a huge Lakers tattoo on my arm, and I said, just in case anybody forgets, this is the real Golden State. So people were looking at me, they're like, yeah, this guy's out of his mind. But you know, something that had to be done. But just the whole setup of how the show itself was done, walking in there, everybody was cool. Believe it or not, I saw one fight, and one fight only, compared to the other festivals where people were shit-faced and everything else. I mean, obviously people were drunk and stuff here, but somebody lit a cigarette in the merch stand. So somebody got pissed off, and when they saw him lighting up a cigarette, this one light up a joint, and then it was just like World War II, and it's like, you know, it was just insane. So yeah, that was that aspect of things was cool. I thought the merchandise line was really not that bad. I was only online for like 50 minutes, and I missed the terrible comedian and Public Enemies DJ that opened up for these guys. And now a lot of people thought, you know, including myself, that there would be a lot of surprises there with like special guests and stuff. We, you know, were shows prior and whatnot, but it was just great to have only Metallica there.
Yeah. I, you know, I figured, you know, for the 30th shows, they did, you know, the more intimate shows and like had all those guests and different set lists every single night. And I figured for the 40th shows, they would probably kind of not do the guests if for no other reason than COVID. And because he kind of had already done it 10 years previously, but it was nice to just have them, I think, you know, come out and do like a full on straight Metallica show. But, you know, that's not to say that the set lists were predictable by any means.
Oh yeah, the set list, Brandon. I could pretty much tell you now, and this is not to brag, and this is if you're a hardcore Metallica fan, I think you could do the same thing for the Vegas shows. I'll write down on a piece of paper, put it on the show's Twitter page, and show everybody my prediction before the show of what I think is going to be played. And I would say if there's going to be 16 songs, I'm going to guess 13 of the 16 that'll be played. Yeah. There was no way for anybody to predict what was going to be played.
Yeah,
and I've never heard. A lot of the things live as most people did, including Fixer. I've never heard a crowd go crazier for a song and it was then Fixer ever.
Yeah. I mean that one was a big one because that one, you know, among diehard Metallica fans, you know, you go to the forums, you're in the Facebook groups, you talk to the diehards and they're like, they've never played Fixer. We want to hear Fixer. It became sort of like this, legend among us nerds, among us Metallica nerds, and then it was like if there's ever a time to play it live, the 40th shows were it, and they did it night one, I believe, that one was a superb pick, but it's funny though because if they had played that like in the upcoming Las Vegas show, it would have probably, you know, gone out to the crowd and like as a dud in a way, because I think those shows you get a lot more casual fans, you know.
Exactly, and I'm glad that you brought that up so I didn't have to you know, excuse my language, sound like a dick here, but the difference in both of the shows were, like, you asked me if I went to both shows, so I bought tickets. I had the same seats because I bought the package deal, as I mentioned to you. So what happens is like the people around me, there were only, I could count on my hands, probably about 7 people who were there on both Friday and Sunday night. So I had a different cast around me both times. And when you got people, you know, and obviously this is a big deal for all Metallica fans. And like you said, the hardcore fans are going to know. But these people, after the second time that they're sitting there asking me and my wife, or my wife and I rather, what song it is, I just said, nay, stop answering them. Like, they don't fucking belong here. Excuse my language again. Like, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but don't ask me when you don't know what songs they are, because you don't need to be there. And if you want to be there for the history, great. Now buy every album and learn what song it is.
I mean, I've never been to one of the big, like, metal rock festivals like an Aftershock or is Aftershock what Rock in the Range was? I always confuse which one's which. They all blend in, you know, all those Danny Wimmer festivals that they headlined and stuff. I've never been to one of those, so I cannot speak to the crowd that is there, but I can speak to festival crowds. And any festival I've been to, and I'm not including like an Ozfest or like a Mayhem tour or thing like a strictly metal, like one day thing. But anytime I've gone to like a multi-day diverse festival, the audience there is horrendously bad. And it's like, you people hate music. Why are you here?
Exactly.
I remember going to, Governor's Ball in Boston, and I went to Coachella one year, and it was like people are just standing there for every band. I understand it's a long day. I understand you're not going to go nuts for every single person. I understand you're going to have your favorites and have like people you could care less about and people you hate, and that's part of being at a festival and having a diverse lineup of artists. But like people would be there like all day just like standing there for everybody, and it's like, why are you even here in Coachella? Oh, did not get me started on Coachella. Yeah. It is. I went the year Guns N' Roses reunited.
Oh, awesome.
And it was amazing. And you know, you just saw like GNR t-shirts everywhere, but you're like, do these people actually like GNR, or is it just like, you know, them wearing like the nostalgic classic rock t-shirt because they're there and they're there to be seen or whatever. I say all that because like Guns N' Roses comes on, and like within like one or two songs, you see like all these people wearing GNR t-shirts, like walking away from the stage, and you're just like,
Yeah, mind blowing.
And then it's like, and this is an actual quote that came out of my mouth. I said to my wife, I go, we need to move because this woman in the headdress is blocking my view. She's wearing like a Native American headdress. I'm like, she's not Native American. I'm like, but she's wearing a headdress. And I'm like, I need to leave here and just give me like a beer and please get out of my way, headdress woman.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And the problem is like you said, you're standing there, it's a long day. So for me, you got to know what you're kind of walking into with these people. So now, like, you know, I do my thing when I go to these places. So like, I kind of basically had given the festival a trial, never being to one of these things. It wasn't really the experience that I thought it was going to be because of the other fans that were there, the people that were not there, as you said, for the music. Completely different. Obviously Vegas is going to be different than the festivals as well, but when you're mixing these bands, you know, especially too, because I'm looking at the upcoming festival, Boston Calling, and the one that they have coming up in Napa. The thing is that you're not just mixing, you know, metal music. And that's the crazy thing, because now you get all these people who don't know how to act at a Metallica concert that are screaming, that are trying to cut and run through the crowd. I had mentioned this to you. I had, you know, one guy turn around and take a swing at my wife to try to start a mosh pit. I've never seen a mosh pit in 60 shows, let alone at a festival. And that's the truth, you know? So now it's like, even when I was in Louisville, they never did the mosh pit. Everybody was just rocking out.
Yeah. I mean, the mosh pits exist, but they're not like a focal point of like a Metallica show these days. Anyways, you know, you usually would go to like a more extreme metal band, and but the people starting the mosh pits at this are like the same people who, like, you know, I'm overgeneralizing about people I've never met, but it's like, you know, when you go to like the way I envision is like people who go to like back in the day, like went to Limp Bizkit and had never been to like a heavy show ever, and that was like the heaviest band they ever saw, and they're like, let's, let's mosh, and they don't really know like what moshing is or how to do it, but they like start a pit, you know. I said that in quotes for all of you people who cannot see me. I don't know. It's I have mixed feelings, but I think festivals are great. And from the standpoint of like, you do have a diverse lineup. Most of the time you do have a diverse audience there. I think it's all great. I just, somebody out there tell me the festival to go to where the people there actually love music, you know, and appreciate music and respond to music and react to music and are not just there to be seen. I know that festival's out there, and I just need somebody to tell me what festival that is so I can check it out, I think. But you were hitting up the festivals, like you said. You went to the Four of the Year shows. What was the highlight for you from the Four of the Year shows? What was, whether experience-wise or setlist-wise, what was the highlight for you?
Well, if I may be honest here, right? Am I allowed to be honest? Is that one
Please
of those things
honest.
That is required on the Metallicast podcast? Okay.
Of course.
So, two nights, I know what kind of day I'm going to have Monday, having to drive back down from San Francisco down to LA. So I chose Friday night to trip out and do all my activities. So that was the wrong set list to trip out for me because of how emotional that set list was. So I was on like the roller coaster. I had things popping out at me 3D like I'd never seen before. It was a really good time. But the thing was, is that like the excitement, the build up there. As I mentioned to you guys earlier, the reason why I mentioned this was that the first song I ever saw them play live was Hit the Lights. So they started night one with Hit the Lights.
Yeah.
So it was really, I'm like, all right, this is my show. I'm meant to be here, all this stuff. And then going down the list, you're going into Creeping Death was next, and then Trapped Under Ice. That was the highlight for me because I've never heard Trapped Under Ice, and it's probably the most underrated song on Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I do love how the set list was structured, where they went through, they did at least one song from every studio album in chronological order, and then night two, reverse order. So you start with Kill 'Em All, and then you end with Kill 'Em All. And starting with Hit the Lights and Seek and Destroy is just, like, so Metallica. You know, it was, like, perfect.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the cool thing was like night one was a little weird because like I said, you know, was doing my thing and somebody took my bracelets. They put bracelets on the chairs. So what they did was like you put the bracelet on every time Lars hit the drums, they would just go off different colors. Obviously puppets went off green, red, you know, but hit the lights, they were just going crazy. And I think probably that was the most that the lights were flickering too, because obviously hit the lights with these little light bracelets. So I didn't have a bracelet for like 3/4 of the first show. And I was just like feeling weird because I'm the only person, I'm looking around and I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a bracelet. So it was weird, but yeah, they still heard me. It was all right. I was still loud and everything. The experience too of just like the stadium itself, like it was just a perfect for me venue to see them, because like overall there wasn't really a bad seat in the house. Even if you would have got up in like the nosebleeds or whatever it was, you still had great view of the band itself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was there a low light? Like something, oh, this song? I'm going to assume the low light was just traveling.
For me, and you know, I don't like to be this guy and say it like that, but for me,
you heard it here. Deacon hates Metallica.
For me, no. Obviously, we knew what we were going to expect. I got escaped the whole Black Album thing like during the summer. I did not go to the second night of each festival because of football season. So I had to get back for football. So I only went to the Friday show of these festivals. So I missed the whole Black Album. So just anytime that something from Black Album, it's like, you know, I'm shocker for me. If the real low point, if you want to call it, was I didn't get to hear For Whom the Bell Tolls or The Four Horsemen. And I expected those. And I'm glad that I didn't hear them because of what they replaced them with.
Right. Yeah. Way to turn a negative into a positive, Deacon.
You can't. I mean, on this show, you know, yeah, you got to think about it. Like,
you really cannot go wrong at these shows.
No, not at all.
So the next one is Vegas. And if I'm not mistaken, this is like I know there's two openers, but it's a straight up Metallica show.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet, and I'm not sure who the other opener is, but also too, like to get the people on the attraction to get them in there. Billy Joel will also be playing Saturday night, so I'm sure that maybe we'll see him on Nothing Else Matters come out and do a little piano or something.
I would love that. I was actually thinking of that too. You know, I wonder if there'll be some kind of crossover there, because they were advertising them as like kind of one, you know, one weekend, two icons, and like really hyping up both shows. So I was wondering if like maybe we see Metallica or a member of Metallica do something with him on you know, at his show, and then maybe he does something like you said, maybe piano, Nothing Else Matters. That would be phenomenal, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely would be exciting. And yeah, I think something like that would happen. I mean, for them to, you know, kind of put them on the same bill and that kind of thing, you know, obviously with the weekend packaging and stuff like that, I can't see why they wouldn't do something together, but you never know.
Yeah. I mean, I know from, you know, being to Billy Joel, I've seen Billy Joel once or twice before, and, you know, being fairly local to him in the New York area, cause he was just doing those Madison Square Garden shows like, what was it, like once a week or once a month or whatever it was. He had like that residency there. So like you'd always hear about, you know, so-and-so showed up, so-and-so showed up. And he's no stranger to playing with guests, and obviously Metallica's not either. So it seems like a perfect opportunity. And Elton John already wrote the piano part of Nothing Else Matters, if you check out the Miley Cyrus cover. So,
oh yeah, it was
just
great too.
You
can
just
I
copy
loved it.
His part. Yeah, that was great. Deacon, tell us about the Deacon and Co show and where we can hear it, what we can expect from it.
Awesome. Well, Deacon and Co show, as you mentioned earlier, is I'm not in the Deep Dive podcast. Big shout out to all those guys. I'm not in there because I asked you, I actually came to you. I said, hey, buddy, how would you classify my show? So I don't know if it's, you know, what's supposed to be, you know, more like a Metallica show, but I always try to touch base on the things that are going on. We're going to have some type of tribute coming up to Meatloaf. Rest in peace to him. And as you mentioned, I'm just more of like a music and a, you know, a sports show. We do music reviews, movie reviews, all that kind of thing. I'm working with some cool guests coming up. You know, just basically, you know, trying to connect with people, with the Metallica aspect of things. And now since was approved for Deektalica chapter of Long Island, so I'm president and creator, obviously, it's a different ball game now. So now, like, meeting new people to the extreme of actually saying, okay, let's get together and let's go to these shows is actually now a reality. Yeah. So that's what I've been working on, getting them on, getting their experiences, you know, with that. And, you know, of course, there's always a lot of laughs and no filters. That's the big thing, you know.
Excellent. And yeah, you've had some my favorite Metallica fans on there, and some people have appeared on this here podcast as well. The Svetos, Jordan, I'm probably missing one or two others as well. Yeah, you've had some great people on your show as well. And I would describe it as, it always reminded me of like when you listen to like morning FM radio where they talk about like sports and pop culture and movies and TV and music, except yours is like not it's not done in a cheesy way, and it's catered specifically to your interests. So it's like so like the sports are kind of more general, even though you always talk about the Lakers and Chargers and all your teams, but then you know, you talk about the movies that you like, you talk about the music that you like, which means, you know, I would say I'll say 80% of the time is Metallica, 10% of the time is Iron Maiden, and then the other 10% is like miscellaneous, but maybe even 85% Metallica and 5% miscellaneous. But would you say that's an accurate description of the show?
I would. And, you know, as I mentioned to you and everybody else too, is the best part of being there at the 40th anniversary shows is understanding, and you hit the nail on the head earlier, is understanding there were people who were crying. And they were like, this is my first Metallica show. I've come from Ukraine. I've come from China. I've come from everywhere to get there. And that really moved me to know that there are people out there that love this band as much as I have. And I couldn't picture my life without them. They changed my life.
Yeah. I'll be honest. My biggest disappointment about not going to the 40th shows was the fact that so many people I have met through this podcast were going to be there and would have been like an opportunity to finally like see their face in person and meet them and have a beer with them and all that. So I guess we'll just have to do it at the 50th shows in 10 years.
Absolutely. We're still, I brought back some stuff for some people that couldn't get there. So your package, if it hasn't got to you yet, will be there momentarily, or not momentarily, but daily, or, you know, in the next couple of days. Inside of there, I said, Mrs. O, I have to steal Brandon to go to Boston. Please let him go. Well, so yeah, I definitely got to get you there.
I'm thinking about the Boston Calling show. I'm on the fence. It's a holiday weekend, which is hard with the kids. We usually do, you know, go away and do some family stuff that weekend. But my biggest holdup is that they have not officially announced single day passes yet for it. They've only announced 3-day passes, which are like the bottom tier 3-day pass. Before like all the extra fees is like $360 something. So, you know, it's going to be probably 400 plus. Yeah. And the only band I would pay money to see those three nights is pretty much Metallica. And they're only playing one of the nights. So I'm like, I cannot spend $400 to see Metallica one night. Will they announce the single day passes? I've heard rumors that they're going to, but at best of my knowledge, they've not yet.
No, they haven't yet. I would say about a month, but here's the thing too. I'm 100% with you. So like when everybody does their mad shuffle to go run for Weezer, I'm going to be front row up against a rail, because that's what happened when I did in Sacramento. I turned around, everybody went to go see Volbeat. Everybody ran to go see this one. And I stood there for Rancid. Everybody that saw Rancid, they ran. I sat right in front. It was the coolest experience for me when it comes to like being that close to them. But yeah. The bad thing about buying those 3-day passes, besides the price, is you cannot sell them because they only give you one wristband, and that's yours for all 3 days.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how they get you. But I can guarantee that they're going to sell single day passes because of what they're doing Friday in Napa and then going to Boston. I know people that are doing both shows.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm going to try to make it work. I cannot by any means guarantee it. I will make it work, but I'm going to try and make it work because that would just be, you know, a few hour drive for me. It's an easy drive. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever been to like something over there, like Boston Calling or anything, or this would be like the first time over there?
Governor's Ball is in Boston. I'm not sure if Boston Calling is in the same location or a different location.
I think it's in Harvard. Boston Calling. I think it's in Harvard.
Right. So I mean, I'm familiar with the area, but I mean, I went to college over there and whatnot. So I'm familiar with the area. I'm not sure I know exactly like the location that the actual show's in, but you know, I know the general space.
Nice.
At least from, you know, 15 years ago. It might be different now, but Boston does not change that much though. Boston does not change that much. So
no, definitely.
All right. So the Deacon and Co show, you can find it everywhere you find this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Deacon, are you requesting your podcast be removed from Spotify?
No, not yet.
I'm just referencing the news story about Neil Young getting his, asking to get his, I will not be removing my podcast from Spotify. In fact, I will be waiting out for that Joe Rogan money, whatever he got, like $100 million. I want double that Spotify. Okay. So, check us out on there. Deacon and Co show, of course, Metallicast at Metallicast Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Send me all your love and hate mail there. Deacon, what is your social that you can plug?
You guys can find me, Deacon and Co show, Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to leave a line, deaconandcoshow@gmail.com.
Excellent. So give him a follow, check out the links in the episode description. I'll link to his social and, probably the Deacon and Co show as well. I want to give one last plug to my man, Hector Caster, the one man band behind the Metallicast intro music. I hope that you guys appreciated this episode. It's a little bit, you know, slightly different format. You got all the meats and potatoes of it, all right? None of that extra intro and outro, you know. And so hopefully this is a little bit more enjoyable for you. I think this will end up being easier for me, and hopefully that means more episodes on the way. My goal is 2 episodes in February. Do not hold me to it, but you'll at least get 1 episode. And I'm doing the baby steps back to 1 a week, like I said. And eventually, I think I'll be there, if things go according to my master plan for world domination. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, mill up your ass. Deacon, do me the favor of give me a yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're off to Never Never Land.
Perfect. Perfect. Fabs Not Experts.